Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
I'm equally as excited as I am a little bit nervous about what I want to talk about.
Okay.
Now, did you ever in your primary school years, did you ever have something that was passed around the classroom and you would take it home for like a weekend or mm-hmm. you would send it off to somewhere? Like in primary school for us, that was Flat Stanley.
Yeah.
So Flat
Stanley. We had corduroy bed.
Okay. So Flat Stanley was like a piece of A4 paper. You would colour in and you would design Stanley and he was flat and you would pick someone to send him on a little trip. And so I picked my papa and my nana.
Yeah.
And yeah, Flat Stanley had an absolute ball. And then he came back.
Hang on. A piece of paper.
But like you cut out the...
What Pover school did you go to? You had to make your own.
All right. Well, one of us lives in Rippleside and the other doesn't. You know? I'm sorry that the school I didn't go to didn't give away corduroy fabriced beds. Okay? We had Flat Stanley and you would cut him... Yeah, you would cut him out to the shape of a person.
Yeah.
And then he would fold up nicely... And you would take him. And my Flat Stanley went with Nana and Papa, and he had a wild trip. He went to Waverley Park.
Nice.
Like formerly like AFL ground. Yeah. Went to the pokies with my Papa. Mm-hmm. Brought me back $2, which you can definitely win that specific coin amount at the pokies back in the early 2000s. But yeah, Flat Stanley was like, go home, do something, bring it back. Then you've got to tell us all.
Oh, you write it in the journal.
Yeah, write it in the journal.
Yeah.
What did Flat Stanley do? I've been sprung. My son's daycare has a version of this.
Oh.
Now, he's not even two, right? He's two in July.
Oh, my God. That's so much pressure.
Saw a photo. There's like an app where they send through photos and what's going on mm-hmm. in the newsletters. And in his room, they have this thing called Percy Possum or Percy the Possum.
Right.
And it was
And
like,
they cut out a picture of a possum.
this I think they've managed to scurry away some money and got an actual little stuffed... toy.
Nice.
Possum.
Yeah.
And I saw a photo and it's like, here's what we did this week. And it was this other kid and it was like a presentation of what Percy got up to over the weekend.
Right.
So obviously over the next 20 weeks, every kid's going to have
a
chance. And I'm so glad that I flagged this because if our son came home on a Friday and was like, all right, he's got Percy for the weekend, like tell us. And then I think we have to take some photos and get a giant A3 and like, what did we get up to?
You've got to make
Percy?
A collage.
You've got to make a collage for this thing.
Oh my God. Well, I've got your first stop.
What's that?
Bring Percy to K-Rock.
Bring him to the radio station.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy that works on the radio and then immediately is like.
Where else do you go that's cooler than working at a radio station?
Post office.
Everyone can take Percy to the post office.
So I'm thinking I don't want a big time, you know? That's the, I don't want.
No, I think you need a big time. Like Percy met Jess from the radio.
All right. He's recovering in a mental facility. So I'm happy I've got the heads up, but yeah, I'm severely overthinking mm-hmm. and I'm sure this happens a lot.
Here's another option. AI some images.
Oh.
Percy went on a hot air balloon ride.
Wow. Well, you did lie about corduroy bear, didn't you?
Right,
what,
yeah.
What did you say, corduroy bear?
I don't know. He got up to mischief.
Weren't you just like, oh, yeah, we went to Queensland?
Yeah.
Got a four-park super pass.
I used to lie a lot when I was a kid.
So I'm like, all right, because if we're going away or something, we're busy on the weekend.
Yeah.
You're just like, sorry, Percy, this is life. We're not adjusting our life to you. You're
Percy
just a
Percy went
animal.
Scuba diving.
Well, that's not our life,
but
Jess.
You just AI it, you know? I'll get you some help with ChatGPT.
Okay,
we'll make it happen.
I don't want to gloat, but I don't want it to be like we went to the supermarket.
Yeah,
and then we went to some stranger's house because my Jack's mum thought it would be fun to go to a stranger's house on Facebook Marketplace.
I think you need to bring Percy into the radio station. That's
well, you're going on maternity leave in September, October. Work experience could turn into a full-time gig for Percy.
That's true.
Actually, I'm not
less talk back than me.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, on Saturday, I had the absolute pleasure of emceeing an event for the Mental Wellness Co. It's a collective here in Geelong. They help with women's mental health and that sort of thing. And they did a big fundraiser on Saturday for Share the Dignity.
Yeah, it was a 1915.
Yeah, it was
absolutely. We were really excited about it.
Such an incredible day. We got to hear from so many beautiful women. They were all talking about, you know, they're specialists in their field, talking menopause, talking about natural health therapies, talking about physiotherapy for women. It was really, I felt so inspired when I left on Saturday. But it was one of those moments where I realized just how small Geelong and the Surf Coast is.
Oh, yeah, it's big city, small town.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know that saying where you're like everyone in the town knows one another? I feel like finally we've been here almost 3 years. I feel like I'm finally experiencing a bit of that.
Okay.
Like where I just keep running into people I know everywhere I go. And so on Saturday, of course, you know, there was like 80 or so people that attended this event, which was amazing. Ran into a third cousin of mine, which was so bizarre.
Okay. I'm gonna move past the fact that third cousins aren't a thing, but because it's a great event. So.
It is a thing. And then as I'm, you know, we did like a, you know, it was a formal kind of seminar style thing. I curated a bit of a Q&A, and then we all went out and had an afternoon tea upstairs at 1915. And I'm walking over to the table and it's beautiful fruits and pastries and it was an unbelievable spread. And so I grabbed half a cookie and I'm like pulled it up to my mouth and I've put it up to my lips. And as I go to take a bite.
Can I just say quickly as well, you're not a delicate eater.
No, not at all.
Love
but I was
guts.
Starving at that point because like I was like, oh, here we go. Like we're going to have it.
So you're just.
Yeah. Yeah. You know me, especially now that I'm pregnant. I'm just eating round the clock.
Yeah.
And so I go to take a bite and someone goes, Jess, so good to see you. I was like, oh, my God. It's my pregnancy nutritionist.
Not ideal. Connie.
I love Connie so much. This is the thing. Like
we talked about this last week as well, how you interpreted your first meeting with your pregnancy nutritionist.
My, like, you know, first pregnancy, so, you know, my husband's very, he's like, I want to make sure, you know, everyone's going to be focusing on the baby. I want to make sure you're happy and you're healthy throughout the pregnancy. So, you know, anything you need, let's, you know, he's gotten me a physio. He's found me this nutritionist. He's like, let's make sure you are looked after.
Right. I mean, you're not in the Olympics. But no. Yeah, it's a nice
this
thing.
It feels like an Olympic event, I tell
you've
got
you what. A team around you.
And so, yeah, we've had a couple of meetings with Connie and we've talked about my nutrition. She's caught me eating this loaded cookie.
Well, and for people that were listening last week, they might remember. So you interpreted your first catch-up.
Yeah.
Just full send it was how you came
out
of it?
Well, it was my first trimester and everything was making me feel sick.
Yeah.
And so she was like, whatever you can get down.
Yeah.
That just get something in your body.
Just give
feel
us,
nutritious.
What were some of those things that you could bravely keep down, Jess?
Plain pasta.
I mean, I'm talking about some of the other ones like
chips,
sour straps,
sour straps.
Chips, Maltesers. But yes, you were brave. And the
so
whole
brave.
Thing was the second trimester.
We're gonna rein it in.
Rein it in. Smarten up. Get it. Like you've been eating eggs. You've been doing all the things that you're meant to be doing. She knows you're in your second trimester now.
And so she came over and she was like, Jess. And I was like, oh, Connie, you've caught me in a compromising position. As I spit cookie crumbs at her face. She's a beautiful lady. And she was like, look, we can indulge sometimes. And I was like, this is what I've said to my co-host. Full send. And she was like, we'll talk about this on Thursday.
You didn't even have a session booked in. She's booked you in after seeing it.
No, yeah, I do have a session booked in. It was lovely to see her
this
there.
This is exactly how I felt when I got caught by my dentist drinking a soft drink.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I swear I drink water.
All the time.
Soft drink? How did this get in my
head?
You throw it away. It's a very similar feeling.
Yeah, ever since Saturday, I've really upped the egg intake so I can be like, oh, I'm eating boiled eggs like you asked me to.
Smart. Tim and Jess, the podcast. I've just had like a... What's that thing where you're craving something and you get that? Like when you like impulse shopping. What's that?
Sure.
What's that thing that happens?
Impulse?
Serotonin. Like a...
Oh, nice.
Wow. It's flowing through my body. Now, don't get mad because I know you don't want me to talk about this anymore.
Okay.
Because apparently I...
Oh, here we go. If you say the words pickleball to me...
Well, what am I meant to say?
Anything else.
Well... Okay, the floor's yours. If I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Okay. What is it about pickleball?
So I've been doing a lot of research into pickleball lately.
Right.
After I've heard about it for years,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to like a...
Finally tried it.
Went to a come and try thing. Hooked. Immediately hooked. It changed
me. Are you pickleballing on Wednesday? Is that why I'm babysitting Jack? If I had have known.
You would have said no.
I would have said no.
All right, well, I'll take the Cornettos back to the supermarket.
I'll be there.
Okay. So I have figured out, like, there's this new place in Grovedale, and I've, like, booked a court. And we're taking some people, like my wife and I, we're taking some people that have also been keen to pickle.
Mm-hmm.
Now it sounds like we're swinging. I've just realised that.
They're down to pickle, are they?
They're down to pickle. I'm at a crossroads because I've booked it. I've got the notification. It's like, yep, court's yours for this time.
Oh, so you're not playing with strangers. You're like, are you going to have to teach everyone how to play pickleball?
I am. Here's my problem.
Okay.
I think I've got the court for now. How much grace do I give before, like, I'm not, like, oh, let's just, like, a come and try it. Like, I'm even thinking 5 minutes in, maybe even sending a message now being like, do your own research, because when clock hits 7:01, we're pickling.
I think you need to send them some instructions. If you are the most experienced of the picklers.
Head pickler.
I think you need to send them instructions and be like, be there or be square and prepare for domination.
Issue is we're meant to be getting dinner after.
Right.
So I don't, like, I'm worried about who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Super competitive.
I'll know when you come home early.
Yeah. If we're home at 8, we didn't go out for dinner.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, Elon Musk.
No.
No, I know it's not. It's always become like the Donald Trump of our show. Like, we can't really.
Donald Trump's also the Donald Trump.
We can't talk
of our show.
Donald Trump. We don't usually refer to Elon Musk unless we're talking about his Neuralink chip.
Yeah.
He's always working on some sort of technology.
When you're a billionaire, you have the luxury to be able to do it. I don't think any of us are in that boat. Because I have all the, like, I'm sure we all have Elon Musk ideas.
Yeah.
We just don't have Elon Musk money.
That's it. And, like, if you had unlimited money, Tim, I think there's some of the things that you would have backed. Oh, over the years.
I know where I would have invested my money.
Yep.
I would have invested it in soy sauce fish capsules. Mate, they're everywhere. They are everywhere.
I would never have expected that as an
answer. Frozen yogurt. They're the two that I would have put my money in. And I wouldn't need this job. I'd be so loaded. I would have left you years ago if I'd gotten on the soy sauce little fishy container. Yep. Yeah, you'd be sick.
Missed opportunity.
I'd be living in Lovely Banks. You'd never hear from me. I'd get my assistant to send you a card on your birthday, if I remembered.
You wouldn't have to. Your assistant would.
Yeah, they would. If that's a good assistant.
Well, over the last couple of years in particular, Elon Musk has, you know, he's come out with some eccentric things, and we won't talk about the eccentric things that he's done. He's also kind of, you know, tried to warn us about AI a lot.
But also when you're one of the big contributors to funding it, that's also an issue.
He's kind of spoken out in the last, over the weekend, the last few days, and said that essentially we could be living the Star Wars life by literally the end of this decade, 2030.
But when he says Star Wars life, what's he referring to?
He's referring to humanoid robots. He said it's going to be the biggest product ever. The demand will be insatiable. And everyone's going to want one. It's basically like having your own C-3PO or R2-D2.
Hmm. I mean, like, as a fan of shortcuts in life, this must be very exciting news for you.
Oh, if ChatGPT could,
was a physical thing.
Made into a physical thing that could come along with me on my day-to-day business, the way I would buy that so fast.
They won't be cheap, mate.
Shut up and take my money.
They won't be cheap.
I've got my friend who's invested in soy sauce that can buy me one.
The only thing is, I think that so you see things on Star Wars where C-3PO and R2-D2, they are well loved. And I think you go, oh, that's excellent. Like, look, hello, Master Skywalker. He's just nervous.
He's very anxious for a robot.
He's very anxious. Yeah. I think you would have to have an anxious robot because I don't think you'd cope well.
I reckon you could dial that up and down.
All these different settings. Kind of like on Interstellar, those giant robots. Yeah. It's like, dial down the sarcasm to 10%, please. This is too much. I just think, like, the amount you use ChatGPT, I think it would
self-implode.
It would self-implode so fast. It'd be like, have you thought today, Jess? It'd be like, I don't know. Have you? Have I thought? Can you tell me if I've had a thought?
Well, Elon Musk said 2030, he thinks is a reasonable target to have humanoid robots ready for sale.
I think minimum they'll come
That's 5 years from now.
They'll come in at like $50,000 minimum.
Oh, easily.
It'll be so.
It'll be like, do you want your humanoid robot? Do you want a car?
Yeah, I think so. And then I think what we'll see is probably like, it'll be brand, like cars, again, as an example. Like, whether they get in or not, but it'll be like, oh yeah, I've got the BMW Android. Oh, I got the Ford one, or I got all these.
And then Apple will come out with their Android.
Well, they can't come out with their own Android. They're the one company who probably won't call it an Android.
Oh, no, but they can't call it an iRobot, can they?
No, there's a very classic Will Smith movie about how bad that all goes. Well, okay, like, let's go straight to the brass tacks of it. If it costs a car thing, are you getting a loan to get a humanoid, Jess?
No. No, I'll stick with ChatGPT. Okay. He's free. He's reliable. He's comforting.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's gotten to the point where I use it so much that, like, when I write something, you'll be like, great idea, Jess. And I'll be like, thank you, ChatGPT.
It knows you're so pathetic. You need praise. Unbelievable. This is Tim and Jess. I think I've made a bit of a wee mistake, as they might say over in Scotland.
Oh.
A wee mistake indeed.
Oh, that, as they say, not over in Scotland. I was like, when did you pop down to Scotland?
No. Just like using the phrase wee as, but it's a little. I've made a little mistake. And if you've ever played like a game, whether it's Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, where you've had to create a character,
yes,
to play, I've made a mistake in that form because I bought AFL 26 a couple of weeks ago, and it is perfectly crap. Could not recommend it, and not recommend it enough. It is exactly what it should be, and never will be.
Right.
But
good graphics.
Nah. Playability terrible. Interest all time high. So I've been playing it, and like you can start a career as like an 18-year-old and get drafted. So like that's
Don't you have your character that you've always gone with? Wasn't his name Max?
Yeah,
his name was Max.
So I've never, when I was a kid, I never made me. I don't know why. I didn't know everyone else was making them.
Like, you were just like, who's this guy? I want a good alter ego, Max.
Max. And so, but then when I learned everyone else was creating themselves for like soccer games and all these things, I would create Tim Bulch. I would create me.
Yeah.
But since my son's been born, I'm like, oh, this is like a fun little change that I could make where I make my son Jack Bulch. And
cute.
So like it's when I'm playing, I see his name and I'm like, oh, that's my boy. Yeah. All this kind of thing. So I was
not
like,
not looking
fun
at him directly or paying any attention to him.
I can hear some wah, wah, wah in the background.
There.
I assume it's sound effects. But what the downside of it is the pressure to now have my son not succeeding.
Oh, no.
Tremendous. Yeah. It's terrible. So he got drafted. So I played my under 18 season for Vic Country out of Geelong. You know, I was like, all right, yep, a ruckman, a mobile ruckman. I created Jack. Mm-hmm. First season went number one in the draft. You beauty. How good
Stunning.
Is that? How good? Got drafted to Richmond. Can't win them all. And so.
Also, a bit rough if you're playing this game and they go, your draft pick 26.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun of it. I was just happy to be drafted. You know, as they say, like the actual kids that are drafted, you know, you're just happy to go anywhere. Just really want to repay the club.
Did you get a little tear in your eye when you saw Jack Bulch drafted?
No, it was just Richmond. That's when the tear came down. But so the first year, so you play in the VFL. So you're not playing in the AFL. You're playing in the secondary competition.
Got to work your way up, Tim.
And I'm dominating. But they're still saying that because Richmond's got a really good ruckman, that you're not going to get into the team.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, this is devastating because, like, this is my son. He's not getting selected. This is not okay. Why isn't my son good enough to be playing in the AFL? Mm. So I request...
Plot twist, the ruckman is Max, your previous...
No. And then so I was like, I'm going to request a trade. Funnily enough, traded to Geelong.
Oh.
How funny is that? And I'm looking at the timeline of the game because I'm about 3 or 4 years in the future now. Maybe Geelong's ruck stocks, like Reece Stanley.
How long have you been playing this game?
Not that long. So I've been simulating just to kind of see what would go on. And I'm like, oh, Mark Blixarv, Reece Stanley, they're a little bit older. Surely in 3 or 4 years' time, now by 2028, 2029, they're not playing anymore. So I'm like, I'll go to Geelong. Easier opportunity for me, or for my son, to get to play his first ever AFL game. Lloyd Meek, who is an incredible ruckman for Hawthorn, has been traded as well. And now I am further down the pecking order.
No.
And my son is not getting selected. And if this is what parenting a primary school child is like, I'm not about it.
And didn't Blitzarv just get signed for...
He just re-signed. Mark Blitzarv just re-signed in real life and in the game. So I'm third in line. I still haven't played a game.
Should have stayed at Richmond.
I should have. You never say that. Never say that. And I couldn't have, this hurt so much more. If it was just me not getting selected, I'm used to that. But now it's like, why aren't you picking my son? And if this is how parents of real kids who were drafted, like Jay Polkinghorne, who's yet to play a game for the Cats but been killing it in VFL, his parents just like getting Chris Scott on the phone, like, why aren't you picking my boy?
Put him in, coach.
He's doing so well. He's doing everything you asked. But I'm playing an Xbox game. So that's my only difference.
Do you tuck Jack in at night and just kind of quietly have a word to him? Like,
yeah, I'm just like,
be better.
Yeah, just get around the contest, you know? Quick to the ball, hands out. That's what we're looking at.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.